This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. This is Inside Story with Lee Chui Lin and Sharmila Ganesan. Tonight, how the arts are suffering. This is coming on the heels of an open letter from KL Pack detailing how tough it's been.
First, we'll be hearing from Ian Chow from KL Pack, outlining their specific appeals and why it needs to happen now. And then we'll hear from Mat Yong dancer Zamzuria Zahari about how she's been affected. Finally, Pauline Fan from Pusaka joins us to explain how folk performers are impacted.
So are the arts important to you? Do you think the arts should have more priority in our recovery than what it does right now? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. All right, it is 6:07 and we're diving right in. Yesterday, the Kuala Lumpur Performing Arts Centre, or KL Pack, posted an open letter on Facebook calling for the government's attention towards the performing arts industry. And the letter, as we say, was an open one, but it was addressed to the Tourism, Arts and Culture Minister, Datuk Sri Nancy Shukri, the Communications and Multimedia Minister, Datuk Saifuddin Abdullah, the DG of the National Security Council, Datuk Muhammad Rabin Basse, and Senior Minister, now DPM, I suppose, Datuk Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob.
So the letter essentially outlined their struggles over the course of the last year, right? Now, of course, KL Pack, Actor Studio and Penang Pack are all under the same umbrella. So they talked about how, you know, after clearing their checks this month, they'll be left with just about 5,000 ringgit to tide them over. They've had to face pay cuts for workers that were increased from 40 to 60% during the MCO 3.0. Workers might have to be switched to being contract staff. This is despite KL Pack's attempts to keep their promise not to retrench anyone. And essentially, the thing that stood out to me in that letter of appeal was this particular sentence where they said, "It is time for Malaysia to decide whether it still wants the arts to be part of the local landscape when we emerge from this catastrophe." And, you know, I just wanted to point out that KL Pack is one of those institutions that are one of the relatively bigger ones. This is not to say that this hasn't been an incredibly tough time, but they're just the tip of a much larger iceberg. All of the people that we don't hear from or perhaps don't have the kind of reach that KL Pack might.
Also, this is something that we consistently hear from representatives who have the capacity to talk about their industry. Because honestly, I think so many people actually right now just... to talk about it is to fall into despair. So, but the thing is, whenever we hear from representatives from the industry, what they talk about is how far away the path to recovery is and how seemingly impossible it is to get there, which is why I think that sentence in the letter stood out to me too, because the question is not so much about, can you survive for the next month? Can you survive for the next three? It's what happens after the 6 months it may take, the year it may take for anything to come back to normal, and then what the path to recovery will look like then. Because we're talking about an entire industry and all the people and the scaffolding that goes into supporting that. So if we look at the recommendations the letter made, there were seven of them. And essentially speeding up vaccination, something that, again, we've heard across the board, the allowing the recording of performances with minimal cast and crew, drawing a distinction between arts and live events from social activities, pointing out that the audience will be able to sit down, keep masks on, you know, unlike in other settings, for the National Security Council to empower ministries to work with key players so that perhaps, you know, pilot tests of smaller performances can be done. And for, I think, just a simple recognition of the devastating impact of the pandemic on the arts, right? And recognizing what it will take, new grants to take into account what's currently needed, and for the whole ecosystem to be lifted through subsidies for the venues, waiving deposits for entertainment licenses. The application fee currently, by the way, is 10,000 ringgit. And tax subsidies, offering tax subsidies for people who purchase tickets, rent a venue, who sponsor or donate.
So if you look at just some stats that we currently have, right, according to Chandana's reports, 93% of artists and cultural workers, 93% of artists and cultural workers have been negatively impacted. 70% of them have actually lost most or all of their income. And if you look at what has been offered in return, so under the Pemulih package, for instance, there has been an allocation of 100 million ringgit to create 35,000 jobs in the arts and creative industry. However, I'm you know, there hasn't been a lot of clarity on what that means. What does that mean when you say create 35,000 jobs in the industry? And then they're talking about how the industry will also benefit through departments like RTM, the Bernama, and Chandana as well. And perhaps one of the things that has been getting some amount of attention, the food aid program. So Chandana's food aid program aims to assist 1,500 artists and cultural workers. Applicants will be receiving cash vouchers worth 160 ringgit if they're single, 220 if they're married. And this will be conducted through community partners. But all of which to say, even just reading through that list, that's not very much. Not when you look at a year and a half of not being able to work.
So I think it all comes down to this question, right? Do we want the arts to be part of the local landscape when we emerge from this catastrophe? And that's the question we're asking you. You know, are the arts important to you? Do you think that they should have more priority in our recovery than what they have right now? That number to call to weigh in is 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we will be speaking with Ian Chow, who is the group GM for the Actor Studio, KL Pack and Penang Pack. So send us your thoughts and keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Break from monotony. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:13 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking today about the arts industry here in the country and how tough it's been, really. This is coming on the heels of an open letter from KL Pack talking about exactly that and laying out some requests, some demands, some pleas. So we want to know, essentially, are the arts important to you? Do you think that they should have more priority in our recovery than what they currently have? That number to call is 7733-2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. And joining us now is Ian Chow, Group GM for the Actors Studio, KL Pack and Penang Pack. Ian, thanks for speaking with us.
No, thank you for having me. Nice to be back again.
So we laid it out earlier, but I think perhaps it would be best coming from you. Help us understand what it's been like for KL Pack and the performing arts scene over the last year.
Well, for the last 1 year, the scene was able to operate with limited audience and certain SOP from July till October 2020 and March till early May of 2021. But all the other months, we were not allowed to operate. There's a lot of uncertainties with the change of different phases of MCO and lockdown. So the producers doesn't know when they can hold the show. So how do we plan ahead then? We never know when we'll be in lockdown again. I just feel that there's no clear exit strategy for us as a nation. There's a plan layout for us with all the fancy term, but what is the actual strategy, you know?
How have the staff been coping with all of these uncertainties? And of course, we talked about pay cuts as well earlier.
Yeah, okay. Our current average salary is at 1,005 per staff. We, like you have mentioned just now, Sharmila, we choose not to retrench anyone. So at least everybody still has certain income to take home. And on another spectrum also, we are still owing to suppliers and contractors. And we're trying to pay them bit by bit. So at the end of the day, everybody has something to take home rather than zero income. Definitely, we can't deny the morale has been affected. Some days, some of us are better than the others and being more productive. And whenever someone is down, he or she will borrow the energy per se and depends on those who are better off. And at the meantime, also, we do allow our staff to take up part-time work to supplement their income.
Can you also talk to us really about the long-term repercussions of the arts not being able to function and recover? Because I think, you know, I'm not sure it's that immediate for people, but I do think that it is a huge problem.
Okay, you know, last year, BFN actually did an interview with me and a similar question was asked. My answer then was, we will face talent drain. Talent may leave the industry entirely. And the second one that I mentioned was the rise of mental health issue. Sadly, 1 year later, I'm still telling the same story. And I hope I'm wrong, but I think the mental health issue has gotten worse. And on a bigger picture, for those industries that are on the negative list and not allowed to operate, there's only so much one can endure and accept before the mental breakdown. If I can deviate a bit, arts definitely can help with the healing of the nation, despite what some may feel that arts is not essential. Many more will tell you so, that what we do goes beyond entertainment. Then with the arts not able to function or recover, what sort of message are we sending to the next generation? How does it going to be seen? What are we portraying to the next generation that it's not important? If I could just quote one statistic by the Malaysian National Statistics Department, the creative industry as a whole, which includes the arts, of course, generate $19 billion to the country economy per annum, which is pre-pandemic, and provided 1 million job opportunity to Malaysian. That's a lot. So I do believe that it's high time for Malaysian that we do recognize arts, be it whether performing or visual arts, as an industry, a vital sector that not only contributes to the cultural identity of the country, but also the economic growth of the country.
Now, a lot has been made about the possibility of going digital, right? Performing on it. And to be fair, it's something we've seen a lot of practitioners attempt to do. Talk to us about that and how big a difference does it make in terms of finances?
We definitely are pivoting to the online, the digital platform. Because what we felt is also in the future, even though we may have recovered vastly from the pandemic, we do foresee that there may be certain category of community who still do not want to come to the live event still. So the online avenue will be to cater to this market. But on the other hand, we also truly believe it will go in tandem with our physical show, because nothing can replace the live element of the emotions, the cheer, the applause, the energy. We want to do both. We believe both has its value. It shouldn't replace one or another. But this would mean that expenditure-wise, it will increase for every production. And at the moment, with the few online shows that KL Pack and the Actors Studio have run during the lockdown, even Penang Pack, the ticket sales is not that great. The momentum is still picking up, and producer will certainly lose money with just online show for now. And for certain artists, if we want to pivot online, that requires seed fund from them to invest in the equipment. Well, how is one going to cope with that when we can't even put food on the table?
So, your open letter made a number of suggestions that I thought we could go through now, beginning with one to allow the recording of performances. So how would being able to record performances help?
First and foremost, I think, once again, it provides job opportunity. You see, the Actors Studio actually has gotten a production grant to be shooting productions, but we are not able to utilize it because we are not able to operate. So we have this pile of money that we can't use. But if we can, we can kick off the industry again and start to pay people. The payment may not be lucrative at this stage, but at the end of the day, it's once again about being able to put food on the table first. We need to survive before even talking about sustainability. And bearing in mind, when one industry is allowed to operate, it benefits the surrounding one too. Like for the arts, it will not only benefit the immediate workforce, the cast and crew of the production, but we will definitely need caterer, transport, laundry, stationery, accommodation, tentages, supplier, hardware shop, and many, many more other sector. So it helps to kind of rejuvenate as well for this other industry. And when we are allowed to record, then we have materials that we can showcase in hope it can then attract corporates, or at least to start conversation with corporates to talk about sponsorship. We don't hand out entirely, you see. We want to try to do it on our own too.
So another thing that you proposed was to clearly delineate between live events and social activities, right? How can performances be safely conducted with an audience?
We have done, those months that we are allowed to operate, we have done shows safely. There's no cluster being reported in all the live events, not only us and other producers as well. What we can do is, we definitely would like to implement that, is audience are required to wear masks still and be seated with certain amount of distancing. And of course, now we're also talking about vaccination and possibly pre-show self-testing.
And how would you account for the safety of the cast and crew, right? Not just the audience. I mean, in simple terms, is it possible to rehearse, to put on a show, while also keeping the people involved in putting on the show safe?
Yes, possible, but with certain limitation. We may have to consider smaller scale production, at least in a year or so, in terms of the size of the cast and crew. Or we have to rehearse in a bigger, well-ventilated space despite having a smaller team. And also what we do is, or what we can do is, cast and crew will have to stay put in the designated area. So if they are assigned to Studio One, so they have to be in Studio One throughout the entire process, and that's it. And they come and they go, and they don't go anywhere else in the premise. And also we will be talking about different method of presenting. For example, distancing on stage and possibly also lesser contact between performers. So the directors and producer will have to be slightly more creative, at least for a year or so, for us to cope with the spread of the pandemic.
So there have been grants and allocations, as you mentioned, right? Have they helped at all?
Yes and no. Certain grant by the MyCreative and Chenana have helped us, but certain one that we did not get, for example, the subsidy UPA, of course, then it doesn't help. And as we speak, we are trying to apply for the next subsidy UPA for the past 1 week, but to no avail. The system hangs every day, and neither can we do a physical submission. The other one that we are eligible to is an electricity discount. It is 10% for now, but what is the point when we are not even allowed to operate?
So, with that then, what is needed in the most immediate sense to help the industry?
I would put down two. One is a financial assistance. Secondly, is reopening of the sector. It's basically to help us to survive first. We can talk about sustainability later on. Whether we want to admit it or not, the economy in our country is melting badly. And if I really want to appeal to the government that stop categorizing what is essential and non-essential anymore, when it comes to the rice bowl of the rakyat, everything has become essential.
If aid is provided, are you helpful that the industry can recover? Hopeful?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yes, I am. But not only about financial aid. Like I mentioned just now, it's also about allowing the entire creative industry to reopen and operate. We have been living with the pandemic for a year. We know the SOP. We know the danger of the pandemic. We know how to take care of ourselves. But in the last few MCOs, we were not even given a chance to take care of ourselves, despite us not creating any cluster. So, yeah.
The letter was addressed to the DG of the National Security Council, the Ministers of Communications and Arts, Tourism and Culture. Have you heard back from any of them yet?
We have not heard back from them yet. I wish I could tell you otherwise, but no, we have not heard back from them yet.
Ian, just in closing, what can the public do to support you at this time?
If one is able to, please make a donation to any of the organisation, be it Actors Studio, KL Pack or Penang Pack. We are not going to give up yet, but we need your help to get ourselves out from this turmoil first. However, on a bigger picture, even if you don't choose to donate or help the arts, choose another good cause like food bank or anything at all to help. There are many out there who need all our help. It's really about us right taking care of each other now.
Ian, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much.
That was Ian Chow, Group GM for the Actors Studio, KL Pack and Penang Pack. Again, to find out how you can contribute with donations, you can head over to their Facebook page. That is the Kuala Lumpur Performing Arts Centre. So we've been asking you, are the arts important to you? Do you think that they're important to us as Malaysians? You know, should they have more priority in our recovery than what they do right now? That number to call is 7733 2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We are now headed to some music. But of course, after this, we are going to be looking at how performers have been impacted, as well as how the traditional arts have also, what challenges they've been facing. In the meantime, some music to take us through to the news. Here is Manbai with Kau Ilhamku. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Break from mediocrity, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:37 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking today about our local art scene and essentially how they're suffering and what they need right now. This is coming after an open letter from KL Pack detailing essentially those things and what is needed right now. So we spoke earlier with Ian Chow of KL Pack to understand exactly how things are from the point of view of, you know, venues, producers and the like. But we are shortly about to hear from a performer and teacher. Before that, though, we have been asking you, are the arts important to you? Do you think that they should have more priority in our recovery than what they have right now? That number to call is 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. And we have some messages.
So Stephen says, art detractors always say that one can survive longer without arts when compared to other base necessities like food, medication and shelter. But merely surviving is not living. A life devoid of expression is just not dying. Ironically, people complain about going crazy after being locked indoors for merely a year plus. Imagine finally stepping out of your home into a whole future that's just as listless. Stephen, I feel every single thing that you just said. I think there's such a strong case to be made for What are we fighting for? What exactly is the future we want when all of this is over? And for me personally, I would like for that to include a Malaysian art scene.
I'm going to add on to that by asking a question that sounds very wooey, but that I really sincerely believe in, which is a question about what feeds your soul. What actually makes you feel fulfilled beyond yourself, beyond your own activities, beyond your own hobbies? Is it beauty? Is it expression? Is it all these different things? And I also wonder whether we're having this conversation after we've been so long without it that we forget how it makes us feel, and therefore why it feels easier perhaps to detract. Although, to be fair, nobody in our messages is detracting. Ling also says, art is the reflection of civilization. What good is a good economy without the arts? And Ling, I completely agree. I also thought about something earlier that we didn't bring up, actually, which is, I feel as if whenever we talk about nation building, national identity, we immediately leap to, it's our schools, it's our education. And of course, that is where it starts. But what is a national identity without art? How are those things expressed? How are those principles and stories and history expressed without art? And I feel as if we don't talk about that enough when we immediately leap to schools.
Yes, and I mean, we played Kau Ilhamku earlier by Manbai, right? And if I think about the number of people who are sort of that particular generation for whom that song has a specific meaning and has the specific idea of being Malaysian, and I expand that to everything related to Malaysian art, something that we only have here that defines a particular narrative for us. And I'm shocked that it doesn't get more importance than it does, because yes, you're right. I mean, education, economy, how can any of that exist without a sense of togetherness that something like the arts creates?
Because without the arts, our national narrative is 1MDB. Worth thinking about that. You know, worth thinking about how we're thought of and how we think of ourselves. So we're talking today about the arts and the difficult times that they've been experiencing without being able to open, really, for the better part of a year. So we want to know, are the arts important to you? Do you think that they should have more priority in our recovery than what they currently have? That number to call is 7733-2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, joining us to talk about what things are like from a performer's point of view, we are speaking with Zamzuria Zahari, who is a Mak Yong dancer. Zam, thanks for speaking with us. I wanted to start with, you come from a family of performers, and for more than a year, there have been very few chances to perform. Really, just how have things been for you?
For me personally, I have no problem for me in this situation, because I'm glad that I'm like a shukur, alhamdulillah, because I'm a performer, but at the same time, I'm also a lecturer. I don't have too much problem in this situation, but if I put myself in the as a performer, I'm very sad, and then like not happy, because I cannot perform anymore. I cannot show myself on the stage, and also my family also. My husband also performer. My son also performer. So before this, we are always perform together. But now, almost 2 years, we only do the show use online platform online. So but it's very different, actually. It's not feel when you on stage, you can do more, what you call it? I cannot how to say about the feeling, actually. When you on the screen, you can change anytime, and you can record and you can change. But when you on stage, you can feel that time. Yeah, you cannot change anymore. So yeah.
And that feeling is actually really important to be able to create new work, to keep up with the energy and enthusiasm, to want to continue doing what you do, right? So I was wondering how you keep up with your dancing and your creative work when there's no opportunity to perform.
Okay. Sometimes I'm just for satisfied myself, I need to perform, because I can't stop as a performer. I still continue what I'm doing now. So what I'm trying to do for myself, I try to be record show performance, myself, my students, and my family, and put the on the YouTube or Facebook. But to try keep the environment and feeling, I'm still performer. I need to tell everybody I'm still a performer, and also I'm a teacher in the arts. So I also hope my student and all the performer outside cannot give up because in this situation, pandemic. Yeah.
How has teaching been affected by all of this?
In this situation, I'm a lecturer. Of course, only not me complain about the situation. How you teach practical in online, and then of course, my student also complain. Not complain, like to macam meluahkan because mereka tak puas. The basically, we are teaching in practical, face to face. But now change almost one semester directly. You cannot see your student, and student also cannot understand what we are trying to teaching. So actually very difficult. But we still give student like a semangat and don't give up because we don't know this issue. Not only us melalui this process. So we keep the supporting each other.
Yeah. So there have been calls for the arts to be allowed to operate so that they can continue to survive. What are your thoughts on this?
For survive? Okay, for me, like I'm telling before, I'm a government staff. So for me, maybe I'm not in discussion to very susah or what. But when I look my our students and our friends, and then all the pegiat seni dekat luar, so I can feel what they are feeling. And then when the KLPAC close, cannot open, Istana Budaya also cannot open for any performance. So for me, what I feel as a teacher, as a government staff, for survive, I'm okay. But when I put myself as a performance, I'm very sad and I'm very worried actually if pandemic issues cannot stop and then still ongoing with the many problems. And then sometimes not all the problem government also can help and settle down. And then for me, what survived in the art, but also we try each other because always I said for any performance yang lain juga, please don't give up. Maybe one day kita ada peluang dan ruang yang lain untuk kita berkarya dalam seni. Maybe in this situation, tak semua boleh menjejaskan kita punya kewangan or cara hidup. But maybe kita yang perlu sesuaikan dengan situasi tersebut. Yeah.
Zam, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Zamzuria Zahari, a Mak Yong dancer, talking about what things have been like for performers, really, and ending with a call, essentially, for everybody to stand together as much as possible. Let us know, though, we're talking today about how the arts have struggled over the last year. Are the arts important to you? Should they have more priority in our recovery? Call us 7733-2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be finding out how the how traditional art forms, traditional performers have been impacted. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is coming up to 6:50 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. Our focus today is on the arts here in Malaysia and really how tough it's been. So we've talked about venues and producers, we've talked about performers, and now we want to look at folk performers because that is also just an important sector to discuss. We want to know, though, are the arts important to you? Should they have more priority in our recovery? Again, you can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. And joining us now is Pauline Fan, Creative Director at Pusaka. Pauline, as always, thank you very much for joining us.
Lovely to be here as always.
So how has the pandemic and the lockdowns impacted traditional and folk artists specifically?
It's actually been devastating for folk artists throughout the country, I think. I can speak specifically about really Kelantan and Terengganu because that's where we're doing a lot of work also in response to the pandemic. But I think it's really, this is relevant to folk artists throughout the entire country are experiencing similar problems. But it's particularly bad in places like Kelantan, Terengganu, and of course, I think East Malaysia as well, where even the social structures and the infrastructure for assistance is actually quite weak. And also you have a lot of folk artists who live in pedalaman, the kind of interior areas, and not even the more urban spaces. And that's always a problem. And so in Kelantan, for example, it's been devastating because of course the pandemic was quite bad at one time in Kelantan. It started raging quite badly with all the different variants as well. And the cases were skyrocketing. That was one element of worry. But I think the thing that has really impacted them is this very long, prolonged and never-ending state of lockdown. And in Kelantan, of course, where folk artists, that's not their main source of income. Many of them, it's a supplementary source of income, and many of them do other forms of work on the side, and much of it is informal. A lot of them do just say maybe they have a little warung or gerai, or they do kind of kampong work, you know, like some of them help to build things, some of them work in their ladang. It's usually a combination of things from where they get their livelihoods. And all of it has been impacted at the same time. So it's not just a question of that. Of course, they can't perform. So that's already, they've lost the performance as a source of income, but they've also lost everything else, you know, so they can't go out to work in the fields. They can't open their gerai or warung. They can't travel to other places where they could maybe find some kind of work. And so all of that together has had a really devastating impact on them. We started to reach out to our communities there, and actually we got a lot of cries for help. And I'll speak about that later, about how we're specifically helping artists in Kelantan, but I think this is a problem throughout the country.
So the challenge with many folk performances is that they are community-based, right? And therefore, they lack the kind of visibility that other types of performance might have, being in more urban centers or catering to a wider audience. How does this impact those performances' access to financial support or aid?
Yes, it has impacted quite a lot. I mean, fortunately, so this is why actually we work with them closely, and it's where during this pandemic time we've actually shifted a lot of our work with communities to help them in terms of what they need to survive the pandemic. And because we can't organize performances and we can't help them to earn income in other ways, a lot of our work with communities at this moment has been to put them in touch and to organize and get beneficiary lists from them, and also raise funds specifically for food aid. We've been doing quite a campaign on raising funds for food aid for Kelantanese traditional artists, which has been going quite well, actually. And we've been able to help at least about 300 families at the moment, and probably we'll expand that to even more. But it is a problem. And actually, of course, they have the kind of traditional channels of asking for aid. And sometimes those channels are not really functioning as they should for all kinds of reasons. You know, and that's the politics of the day, as well as just endemic problems of those particular communities for a long time. So, for example, one of those problems is the traditional way of asking for aid in those communities would probably be to go to their local authority or to their local politician or YB or whoever, and maybe to the Jabatan Kebajikan. Unfortunately, some of those things are just not, it's not covering everyone in need. There's been a lot, there have been some forms of aid that have been distributed via those processes, but it really isn't covering everyone. And many of these people fall through the cracks.
Is there a concern, I think, about the generational impact that this pandemic might ultimately have on folk arts and how they're taught and passed down?
Yes, absolutely. It is. Of course, as you know, traditional arts is mostly still taught as oral traditions. And so the close relationship and process between the master and the student is essential to the survival of the passing down of that knowledge. And so, of course, if they can't gather to do performances at the moment, they also can't gather to teach, and they can't gather to have that that organic process of passing down their knowledge within their communities has also been disrupted. So on so many levels, it's actually been very, very difficult for them to sustain, to practice their art, to pass down the knowledge. But at the moment, I think the paramount concern at the moment is survival, because many of them have just had so many problems just getting basic food on the table. And this is a really sad thing to see. And it's why we launched our campaign, actually, because of that, because we got so many cries for help on that particular need.
Pauline, realistically speaking, what will it take for the traditional art scene to recover? And how long do you think this will take?
So while there are a whole variety of problems, of course, and it seems almost insurmountable, however, I do think that the traditional arts community is one in which they're very resilient and very resourceful. And I think it doesn't take that much for them to get their samangat back. I think actually the moment they can start gathering a little bit and somehow practicing their art, not even for money, just to practice their art, to keep it going and to just hear, to be able to play their music again and to be able to do a performance again, even that is already one step forward in reviving their samangat. I think they know it's going to be a long process. I think we all know it's going to be a long journey towards recovery. But even those small steps, I think, are really important. One, of course, just for people to be able to practice their art again in some kind of meaningful way. Two, hopefully, again, to do some kind of community performances. And then eventually, of course, even in a traditional setting without a pandemic, they don't earn that much if it's just a community performance, just saying Kelantan, right? They can earn a little bit, but hopefully at some point we can start also bringing them out to do performances in Kuala Lumpur where they can earn a little bit more. We really hope that we can see some light at the end of the tunnel soon. Yeah, but it will take a while for sure, Shamala.
And what other forms of assistance would be most helpful, most needed at this time? You know, what can be done to support the continuity of their artistic practice?
At this particular time, because I think we're still at the moment where really people are just trying to put food on the table. At this moment, it's actually very helpful to help communities just with basic needs. Because all those other things, I think if they're able to survive and subsist for a while, then that helps them then be able to practice later. And so at this moment, food aid is the number one priority. So we launched a campaign, and it's been publicly funded, this campaign. What has been really very heartwarming is actually that so many people, the response that we've gotten just from ordinary members of the public, just contributing little amounts, we've managed to raise about 35,000. And all of that has gone to contributing to food aid for traditional communities. We've managed to reach out to about 300 families at the moment. But what we notice also, even that, besides the food aid, I think one of the other problems that we're seeing is that some people have very specific needs, like people with young children, people with elderly parents, people with elders. So those are quite specific, and it's a little bit difficult to organize for that. And so we're also trying to find ways. The other thing is, Lynn and Shamala, and one thing where I think the system has failed is that there's no proper database and there's no proper... So even if I went to Jabatan Kebajikan, for example, I mean, I don't know, I've not been able to get kind of these lists of who needs what and which families need help. Those kinds of lists, they probably exist somewhere, but it's not been easy to get any of that information. So all of this has been sending out our communities to the ground, asking who needs what, who's in need, get me those lists. I mean, it's a whole long process and then coordinating the logistics. We're actually very lucky because we have a very good humanitarian partner in Kelantan, iReach, who is experienced in doing humanitarian aid. So all the logistics and the purchasing of items and all this and delivery of distribution of food aid has been done by them, which is great. But it's really a problem, and I think it's a systemic problem throughout the country. You know, which is affecting traditional artists in particular, but also other communities in need. There's no proper real system of kind of database. And I don't know why, even after a year into the pandemic, we still don't have those systems. You know, it's quite sad.
Unfortunately, Pauline, we've run out of time with you, but thank you so much for speaking with us.
Yes, thanks so much.
That was Pauline Phan, creative director at Pusaka, talking about the challenges being faced by traditional and folk performers. We've been talking about the challenges faced by the art scene overall on this episode of Inside Story. Keep those thoughts coming. We're headed to the news.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.